It's now time for the Spirit Mornings Good Book Club on Spirit Catholic Radio. As we open the Bible, let us learn how God's Word can provide reassurance.
Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me.
Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono.
But they thought to do me harm, so I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand. In it was written,
It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together.
Then I sent to him, saying, No such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, Their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer.
Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you.
And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul, in 52 days. And it happened, when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Also, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them, for many in Judah were pledged to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also, they reported his good deeds before me, and reported my words to him. Tobiah sent letters to frighten me.
From the Word of Promise Audio Bible, this is the Spirit Mornings Good Book Club.
23 minutes after 8 o'clock, good morning. Welcome, everyone. It is Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. Nehemiah chapter 6, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers with us, host of A Beacon of Truth here on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network at 7 p.m. And we're going to find out, I'm going to be intrigued today, Damien. We're really going to investigate the intrigues of enemies who are foiled and the wall of Jerusalem completed. And again, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers joining us to discuss these. Welcome, Deacon. Good to have you with us again.
Thank you. Happy Advent. It's great to be here with you.
All right. Wonderful. All right. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab. Let's talk about some initial observations to this chapter 6 of the book of Nehemiah. It's the first time we've studied Nehemiah.
Yeah, this is one of those books that a lot of people don't really spend a lot of time in. We don't hear much from Nehemiah at Mass and the Mass readings throughout the 3-year cycle of readings, even in the daily Mass. And so people are like, okay, what does this book have to do with like the coming of Jesus, right? Because we always talk about how Jesus is concealed in the old and revealed in the new. Well, let's take a quick look. So first of all, Nehemiah, his name means the Lord will comfort. So for example, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, the three young men that were in the flames in the book of Daniel, they have IAH after their name. So the IAH is a partial name of the name Yahweh. So obviously you can't use God's holy sacred name as your name, but you can use part of the name in your name. So Hananiah means God protects, and Azariah means God will help, and Nehemiah means God or the Lord will comfort. All right. So that's one clue. Second, these first 7 chapters describe Nehemiah's assignment to serve as the governor of Judah, and his main job was to rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. And he succeeds in doing this, as we just heard, despite opposition from outsiders and an economic crisis caused by powerful insiders exploiting less fortunate members of the Jewish community. So that's kind of the background leading into what we're listening to today.
All right, and we're getting a geography lesson here as well.
That's right. They end up
about
20 miles northwest of Jerusalem.
Yeah. So the name that, for example, so this gives us an idea of where this is happening. So the names that are introduced right in the beginning, Sanballat, he's the governor of the Persian province of Samaria, which is directly north of Judah. So he is threatened by a refortified Jerusalem, right? Because he's thinking, I'm going to lose my power, and Jerusalem is going to reassert itself as a power within the region. And Tobiah most likely is the governor of the Persian province of Amad, which is east of Judah. So you can see how these enemies, but these outsiders are kind of surrounding Jerusalem here. And then Geshem the Arab is head of a tribal confederacy that controlled the territory and trade routes on the Sinai Peninsula in northern Arabia. So we have these outsiders kind of surrounding Jerusalem, again, threatened by Jerusalem becoming reestablishing itself as a power in the region. And we also have a geography lesson here, the plains of Ono, which is 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem.
All right, and also, Deacon, we get to some of the nasty and troubling things here with this particular chapter. Sanballat has a letter that makes some rather slanderous accusations against Nehemiah.
Yeah, so he accuses Nehemiah of one of the reasons why Nehemiah wants to rebuild the walls is he wants to establish. Nehemiah has political ambitions of seeking Judah's independence from Persian rule. But it actually was, ironically, it was Artaxerxes the first, the king of Persia, who authorized the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, and in fact provided timber and supplies in order that Nehemiah might fulfill the king's wish. So obviously, again, they can't use military force because there's nothing to provoke any military response to what Nehemiah is doing. That would obviously clearly upset the king of Persia, so they try to slander him instead. They also accuse him in verse 7 of you have set up prophets. Again, another baseless accusation, recalling how prophets prior to the exile gave legitimacy to the kings of Israel. So, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 1, right around verse 38, it says, so Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon, David's son, who ruled after David, to ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. There Zadok the priest took the horn of oil and anointed Solomon. And they blew their trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. Because remember, before David died, another one of David's sons tried to take over without the authority of David as king. And so David, we see in 1 Kings chapter 2, anoints his son as king, and then they go down to make Solomon the king. So these three interlopers are trying to say that Nehemiah is trying to do the same thing, establish himself as the leader.
Yeah, very good. And you've also set up false prophets. They talk about that. We have a Shemaiah, a false prophet. And another accusation against Nehemiah here as we move to verse 13, that he's aware people are trying to discredit his leadership, and he's not going to do things such as rushing into the temple area reserved for priests and do everything he can to keep things on the up and up.
Yeah, see, this is what happens. I mean, we could definitely relate to this as the people of God, how we try to do the right thing. We're like, for example, Nehemiah was doing this under the authority of the king. And we, as Catholics, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have our authority from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we try to live out the kingship of Jesus in the world, we get attacked, right? We get attacked by the culture of woke. We get attacked by the culture of death because we stand up for life, because we stand up for marriage between one man and one woman, because we stand up for gender. It says that there's actually male and female, and there's only two genders, that kind of thing. And we get attacked, you know? And so just like they're trying to slander, and now they're here, they're accusing Nehemiah of trying to go into the temple reserved for the priest. He's not trying to do any of that. But again, they're trying to discredit him. They're trying to make him look bad in the eyes of the people around him. And the same thing happens to us today. We should take heart of how Nehemiah, in humility, responds to all of this, not with anger or not trying to make war against the people around him, but he responds with I think, a deep charity and humility.
When what really jumped out to me was that they were able to rebuild the walls in less than 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible. When you look at, well, first of all, it says the months of Elul in there, which is the sixth month of the Jewish calendar. So you have, and we hear these names all throughout the scriptures, but we don't say, well, when was this? So if you think about our calendar from January to December, right? So they have similar in Israel as well. So they have Shavat, which is like January, Adar, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, and Elul. So Elul is the sixth, that'll be like June, July, somewhere in there in our calendar. So when you think about taking 52 days, that is absolutely incredible. And they were able to rebuild that wall in less than 2 months. It was considered so miraculous that they believed that God was behind it, right? And so when they see that, Nehemiah and his become afraid, since they now believe that they're fighting not just against Nehemiah, but against the will of God, right? and that kind of fills them with fear.
Yeah, definitely. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers with us today. Deacon, good to have you with us. Nehemiah chapter 6, our discussion today. And before we let you go, could we ask you to impart a diaconal blessing for our day?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Deacon. We appreciate it.
You're most welcome. Great to be here. Thank you.
All right. Wonderful.
And if there's ever a Holy Bible version of Jeopardy, I'm going to submit Dynamic Deacon Harold Burke Sivers' name to be a part of that.
That's right. I want you on my team.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Some of those names, like it was.
I know. It was like he had flashcards or something. Yeah. I was like, wow, look at him go. So, yeah, thank you so much, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, for helping us out with the Good Book Club.
All right.